This is the technical difficulties we're playing Citation Needed. Joining me today, he reads books, you know, it's Chris Chahal.
Third time's a charm.
Everybody's favourite, Gary Brannan. Gary Brannan!
Join me in my secret expedition to Noel Edmonds' secret underground bunker of filth.
And the bounciest man on the internet, Matt Gray.
Today's show is sponsored by the word cuneiform.
Oh, getting highbrow here. In front of me, I've got an article from Wikipedia, and these folks can't see it. Every fact they get right is a point. And, you okay there?
Oh, might be reaching coffee saturation. Ooh. I'll start being funny any minute now.
Can we just
take that siren noise there?
Take a minute to acknowledge how good that siren noise was. In front of me, I've got an article from Wikipedia, and these folks can't see it. Every fact they get right is a point and a ding, and the special prize for particularly good answers, which is... Biscuits. You will put your back out doing that at some point, Gary.
All in the name of wit.
And today we are talking about Thomas Midgley Jr.
Son of Thomas Midgley.
I mean, one would assume so, yes. It doesn't explicitly say that here.
It'll be under early life, I'm pretty sure.
It's not. It just says where he was born, which is in the town of Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania.
Also known as a slut drop.
I said that before I thought about it. So that's a joke.
Pennsylvania, you're it this week.
Have you ever got that? It's a town at the bottom of a cliff. Above it is a large woodland with a very heavily disguised edge of cliff.
What are we going to call this place?
That's my impression of a beaver, by the way. I don't know what noise they make when they hit the ground. I've never seen
a siren noise by the sound. Oh, it's a trumpet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up in Ohio then and went to Cornell University with a degree in mechanical engineering.
He sounds like an awful person.
His father was an inventor, and he was an inventor, and he made, I think, a great change to the world, although it might not have been for the better.
The automatic French horn.
Why would you need an automatic French horn, Gary?
To save you having the trouble of playing a French horn, dickhead.
If you can't play a piano, why not play a French horn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Come on, it was a general trend towards playerization of the entire orchestra. They just stumbled on the kettle drum.
It's a self-boiling kettle drum. Yeah.
It's just a kettle with a drum attached to it and steam.
That's not quite what we had in mind, but useful in the morning.
ATM. Boom, boom, boom. But I do have hot water for tea now, so that's good.
And everybody's awake.
Yeah. So, yeah. No. that's not what he invented.
I'm out. So are you asking us, of all the things that could have been invented in
the 1900s? Well, I was hoping you might hit on something I could move towards it, but no, since you
ivory harvesting machine.
Since you went with automatic French horn and ivory harvesting machine, no, nothing like that. Let me see if I can narrow this down a bit. He was working at Dayton Research Laboratories.
Oh, Dayton Research Laboratories! Still no idea.
Which are a subdivision of General Motors. So what would he be working on in about 1920s? This is December 1921.
Nuclear power car.
The double-decker bus.
No, but you are technically closer. It was something to do with how cars are powered.
Nuclear-powered double-decker bus.
I mean,
that's a great film, actually.
That's combining both no's.
Wait,
there.
What film is that? I remember that.
The Big Bus.
The Big Bus.
Big Bus, brilliant.
All I remember is someone pulling a lever and the flags of all nations popping over the top of it.
Yeah.
Wow!
It actually predates Airplane as well.
It was a comedy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, comedy.
Oh, no, if you want a serious one, did you ever hear about Super Train?
No.
This was a massive flop for NBC in the US. It's one of the worst, it's one of the most expensive and greatest television failures of all time.
This sounds like it should be in my DVD collection already.
You know how they had the Love Boat?
Would you
explain the Love Boat for our viewers?
The Love Boat was a serial, I think it was probably weekly or something, where you would have a cruise
boat
liner.
Went around trying to shag other boats.
My God, the one with the oil tanker, you should have seen that.
Lubricated.
That's kind of what it sounded like.
Make sure this one's called the Gary Brannan Sound Effects Special.
Yeah. As I have just done a cruise liner shagging an oil tanker.
Actually, yeah, sorry.
Thank you. Recognise the effort of this series. No, it was. I don't think it was a comedy. It was a kind of a light drama, maybe. Yeah. A kind of romantic drama, where you had a cruise liner.
So was this like Tugs?
No. Wow! I bloody love Tugs.
Yeah, Tugs
was
great.
To digest, Tugs was like Thomas the Tank Engine on water.
We're now three diversions deep, but keep going.
We'll circle back
Tinder round. Username.
This is, I think, the third season in a row where you have referenced Tinder despite being the one married person at the table.
Yeah, the one who's safest to reference it without any ice swivelling on it.
That's fair.
But the love of it was a giant cruise liner, and you'd have guest stars every week, and romantic things would happen while at sea.
Right.
And because you're in international waters, there's all manner of deviancy you could get up to.
This was the point, that you could have a steady, regular cast for the crew,
yeah,
and then guest stars each week for the passengers on the ferry.
Super Death Train. Yeah.
Super Train. Which was NBC going, huh, they've got that, but it's about, what can we do differently so it's not a complete ripoff? Let's put it on a train.
Wow!
Let's put it on a nuclear-powered train.
Whoa.
That goes from New York to Los Angeles in 36 hours. That's a great idea. That can't possibly fail. Yes, when you do the math, that means the train's doing about 80 miles an hour.
That's hardly impressive.
It's hardly impressive at all, no.
You think you could do that on the West Coast Main Line, I mean.
Yeah, you actually could. It's a double-width train, so you get some sets and things like that.
Of course.
Stupid, stupid idea from start to finish, but it's like, this is the big series, this is what we're going to do.
Sounds expensive.
Yes, it was massively expensive. It did not work. Why did we talk about Super Train?
I don't know. We talked about nuclear powered
bus.
Yes. Nuclear powered bus. The big bus.
Big bus.
Yep.
And then where
and I said nuclear powered cars because
yes.
It was an invention.
Oh, because he was working.
Because Thomas Midgley Jr. invented something about how cars were powered.
God, I watched Inception last night and this is more difficult.
That's not surprising.
What was the invention in the 1920s that would reduce. That would make engines work.
Was it an electric car?
No, it wasn't. No, it was definitely petrol. In fact, this was something to do with the petrol.
Leaded petrol.
Point. Absolutely spot on.
Nice harmonisation there.
Yeah,
that was good.
He added tetraethyl lead.
The scamp.
It's petrol, and discovered it reduced knocking.
On Heaven's Door.
Yes. Yeah, that's why.
Do you need to cure Bob Dylan? Use lead.
That worked for JFK.
What did he die of? Lead poisoning.
Do you know when it got to leaded cars in the early 90s started coming in, they stopped selling four-star petrol. Used to be leaded petrol.
And two-star.
They stopped selling it. A relative of mine, who shall remain nameless, he was an older gentleman, shall we say, decided he wanted to convert his car to using unleaded petrol. It was quite an expensive procedure. So what he did was, he got unleaded petrol, put it in the tank, and then bought, through a magazine, today it would be off a dodgy website, but in those days it was a magazine, some thing you could put in your tank to make your car unleaded. When they came, it was effectively lead shot. So he put unleaded petrol in, lead shot in, which re-adds lead, let's face it. And he was convinced his car was running on unleaded petrol with all the benefits thereof. Genius!
So this was the problem. Lead in petrol does reduce knocking. Mm. What's the problem there?
It adds lead.
It adds lead.
Absolutely, I have a point. It adds extremely toxic lead, which then gets sprayed out in the exhaust over everyone nearby, which is why we went to unleaded petrol, which is why we had all that.
Because lead is bad. If
yes,
you didn't
it
know
is.
That, you know.
What happened in 1923, just 2 years later, to Midgley? What did he do?
Die of lead poisoning.
I mean, not quite. I'm not actually giving anyone a point there because between the, no one was a third of a point close enough to get that work. He took he did take a prolonged vacation to cure himself of lead poisoning. What did they call the addition?
Lead.
No. No, they knew that that would not work well for marketing. So from tetra, ethyl and lead, they picked...
Plumber.
Oh, yeah. Latin joke. Nice.
It is indeed. Yeah, but you can't say putting bum in your petrol.
No, they went with ethyl.
Plumbum petrol.
Good for you and your car.
So they had a prototype plant. They started making this
You
stuff.
Don't make lead from plants.
Isn't a prototype plant a seed?
They had a prototype factory where they were making this stuff. What happened to the people who worked there?
They all got
died of lead poisoning.
Point, yes. So this is clearly quite dangerous stuff. Midgley called a press conference to demonstrate its safety. What did he do to demonstrate
it? Sprayed it on some kids.
He ate a sandwich made of lead.
Killed the journalists through lead poisoning.
I mean,
he produced a song and dance number, Lead, It's Great.
He had a lead lolly.
Lead lolly yellow lolly.
He's turned up on a set made entirely of lead and produced a sitcom.
I mean, you're all
right
dancing around.
Did he writhe around in lead shot? You know, like
what a great age Victoriana was.
Was it like mud wrestling but lead wrestling?
You know what, Matt? You're bloody close enough. No one else is going to get it.
He wrestled in lead.
No, he poured the stuff all over his hands.
Yeah,
And then just put the bottle underneath his nose for 60 seconds. Just sniffed it for a while.
And then died of lead poisoning.
Well, he claimed...
He's already got the first signs of lead poison of madness already.
Well, he claimed that...
Hang on, lead? He poured lead. Not liquid.
Poured the stuff with lead in it. The stuff that is such a
molten lead over his hand.
This is fine, really.
He said he could do this every day without succumbing to any problems whatsoever. What then happened?
He died. He succumbed to lead poisoning.
No, he managed to survive.
His hands fell off.
He
there and then.
Thunk.
Thunk.
Well, this is embarrassing.
I'm going to give Chris the point. He retired because of lead poisoning.
Because of lead.
Did I even say that? I mean, I'll take it.
To be honest, I kind of kept track all amidst the ridiculous suggestions of what you could do with lead at a press conference.
Are you saying you couldn't ride around in lead at a press conference?
I mean,
a press conference.
You get quite severe burns.
He's in a lead suit. It's rather...
Hello? Bring me the lead. Also, tell me what accent this is, because I don't know.
And why I'm speaking into my hand.
Sir, that is lead. Fantastic. So needless to say, he didn't have a great effect on the environment. Well, I mean, he had a great effect on the environment. It just wasn't a
good one.
Great effect on the environment. So he moved on to somewhere else in General Motors.
Yes.
He moved out of that division. Obviously, lead went on to be quite successful as a thing in petrol.
Did he move on to drinkable arsenic or something like that?
Well, you say that.
He did.
Did he put lead in the windows or lead in the...
Leaded windows on cars, a little hexagon.
Stained glass cars.
Beautiful
image of St. Christopher on the railway. Really, really is.
Admit it.
He needs thousands of pounds to replace it now. He really does.
Admit it, you want it though, don't you?
Of course the f- you want it.
Why doesn't the Popemobile have that?
Very difficult to make that bulletproof, I imagine.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
Stained polycarbonate doesn't really have the same ring about
it. You just need the lead, then. Forget the window. It's an actual leaded window. It's lead-lined lead.
Might be being a bit generous with window there, man.
It's safe. It's just a shield.
Safe from Superman, though. Superman can no longer see the Pope. That's fine.
Oh, yeah, because that's how Superman gets his kicks.
We technically have two popes, which is quite rare.
I don't have any popes.
Well,
I mean, you guys have been in my house. If you can find the one pope...
You've got a pope infestation.
Oh, I'll tell you what, mate.
I've tried spraying in Anglicanism. It's not shit.
The weirdest thing is they don't breed, but, you know. The thing is, you could bring in your Anglicanism, but you just end up with an infestation of bishops and archbishops, and they're even harder to get rid of, because
they can only move diagonally.
Thomas Minchley Jr.,
yeah.
Meanwhile.
Meanwhile, back at the Pope Mobile.
Having retired from that.
So, this is a day of sound effects for you. Can we have Goose, please?
Go back to the old standards.
Let's go for train. And both together.
That was a good one. It was a good combo one. Yeah. That's one of the better ones in recent
old
years.
Old school. He moved on from the cars divisions of General Motors, and he moved to Frigidaire.
Oh, for f***'s sake, he put loads of CFCs in the atmosphere.
Point! Absolutely right!
What a f***!
I think on a list of people who just shouldn't have bothered, he's on it.
I mean, can you imagine wherever one might end up beyond the icy veil of the hereafter? He's sat there. So what did he do in life? Well, I invented leaded petrol. Right, and then I moved on to putting lots of more dangerous chemicals in the atmosphere after that.
Well, so all of our problems now are
his fault.
Well, this is the thing. What did CFCs and what did all the new stuff, the Freon and things that he put in fridges, fix? What was there before?
What's more dangerous than that?
What's more immediate? If you didn't know, because to be fair, they didn't know what would happen with CFCs. Yeah. If you don't know that, what are they a safe alternative to?
Some other kind of gas that's cooling.
Ammonia.
Ah.
Ammonia is very good at being compressed, right, and as a heat exchanger, it's pretty much unparalleled. But it is extremely toxic and extremely unsafe, and a little bit... there are some alternatives. I've got chloromethane or propane.
Ooh, propane-powered fridge.
Yes, that's... It's not ideal.
Electrical fault.
Yes, that was one of the problems with it.
You're just going past lots of houses with holes in their roofs where the fridge went upwards, that kind of thing.
If it's good enough for Indiana Jones.
Yes, he basically invented the idea of using CFCs as refrigerants and then into aerosol spray cans and things like that. And he won medals for this because, to be fair...
Oh, he would have.
They did
better than the alternative.
Better than the alternative, but the long-term consequences weren't.
The King's Medal for environmental f***ery, I think.
He's actually on an interesting list in Wikipedia because the manner of his death is also somewhat unusual.
Is he under the list of unusual deaths on Wikipedia?
He is.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
You're right on two words there, auto and asphyxiation.
He didn't do an Isadora Duncan, did he?
You're going to have to explain that reference.
That is Isadora Duncan, 20th century actress who was killed by her scarf becoming entangled in the back wheel of her long scarf in an open-top car becoming entangled in the back wheel.
I thought you said Wizardora.
Oh. Very different.
He contracted polio at 51,
oh.
Which left him quite severely disabled. So he's an inventor. He is bedridden.
He doesn't invent the iron lung, does he?
No.
No, the motorised bed.
He's got a grabby system, a series of ropes and pulleys point. That he accidentally pulleyed himself.
Point again. Absolutely right. He invented an elaborate system of strings and pulleys. And he got entangled in it. And there was nothing he could do about that. That is a heck of a way to go.
Mm. I thought, did he end up getting buried in lead?
Lead casket, yeah.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
With a lot of coolant.
And buried him in a fridge.
Yeah.
Lead fridge.
A lead fridge.
So at the end of the show, congratulations, Matt. I'm giving you the win here. You win a hellbound Ford Transit, previously owned by a Belgian action star that's had a genetic copy made of its mandible.
Van Damme's damned van...
And
something.
It's Jean-Claude Van Damme's damned clone-jawed van.
I tried!
So, congratulations there. With that, we say goodbye to Chris Joel, to Gary Brannan, to Matt Gray.
How about you, Jim?
I've been Tom Scott. We'll see you next time.